Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. And kids playing outside, so you'll hear that too. Intimate kink is my phrase that describes how my life merged the deep dualities in my body through repression inquiry, no longer made life feel separate. Makes sense, doesn't it? But this is on the stuff that really is energetic. It's hard to describe because it's energetic. In the embodiment process where you awaken to presence, and then over the course of time, that presence is experienced as your entire experience, including the dense aspects of your body. And when you do deep repression work, you thaw that out, and there's this tremendous, abundant life force and flow that you can't have when you have repression, because that's the holding back of that. So Carl Jung talked about our life force as like the libido. It's what he called it, really. It included sexuality, but it was bigger than that. It's our creativity, our very life force. He even was into spirituality and referred to spiritual energies. And Freud, when he first came out, he, of course, named emotional repression as the root of suffering. Nobody ever disputed that, and science currently has confirmed that. But the reason I'm bringing up Freud here, and I often bring him up, is because he talked about aggression and our bestial animalistic quality and our sexuality and how these things are repressed in us. And I think it scared people. I wasn't there, but I've read about it, that he had a lot of resistance to his various aspects of his work, which is similar to what we experience. Because he talked about the things that we don't want to acknowledge within ourselves. And yet, these things that he talked about, they are manifesting in our lives in various ways, and they're a part of our suffering. So anger repression, and therefore the repression of our aggressive, you know, energy, is creating a lot of addiction and suffering. And we don't realize, as Carl Jung, I think he realized that it's a spiritual awakening process to own all these shadows and process these buried emotions. And that only awareness can hold all of that. That's what I would say. And so Freud and Jung were touching upon the embodiment of non-duality, in my view. In some cases, much more than some of the teachings in the West, or the East, excuse me, the non-dual teachings. So with all that backdrop, and just the fact that our ancestors had to live in a sort of predatory prey environment for a long time, just like there's a predator lurking around in any corner, that is imprinted in us, along with all the social and societal things about men and women and power and how men have these traits and women have these traits. And then you've got the repression of emotion, which is different. So if somebody represses anger, their power is held back. If they're a man, they can feel like their masculinity is missing. If it's a woman, it can just feel like they don't have boundaries. They can't speak up. And if a hurt repressor who represses hurt and sadness, they might identify with being an ego, being powerful, needing to be big to protect themselves. Understanding all these dynamics, there's a dominant submissive duality in our energetic experience. It shows up in different ways. I mean, even when we're bullied, you know, the bullies are the dominant ones, and we have to submit or comply. Or mom and dad are the big authorities in our lives, and we're the small. See, the power dynamic is everywhere. And this is how we survive, as buying into this dynamic, this duality, one way or the other. So the way that this played out for me in terms of intimate kink is that I didn't have any power in my personal relationships. So, I mean, in a very simple way, I couldn't just say no to something and really express, especially confrontational things or emotions that could be create conflict as an anger repressor. So just thinking of that, my professional, my personal relationships just didn't have much conflict. You can imagine as a spiritual teacher how that would be the case. And it was true in my first marriage, really. But then on the side in my first marriage, I had an addiction to BDSM. Speaking of kink, that's a very well-known thing within that's known as kink in the gay world especially. So why was I interested in that kink? Well, when I was doing it and compulsive about it, I did not understand, had no idea. Because it's like any other unconscious behavior, you're on autopilot. You don't, if you had the consciousness to see where it was coming from, you would be well on your way of seeing through it. I couldn't see where it was coming from. It was coming from buried anger. I was taking this submissive role in the dom-sub dynamic every single time, and that was compulsive for me. You know, when I would have the idea of that, I really needed it, and I had to play that role. I just couldn't put two and two together, though, because I couldn't see the anger repression in my life. I did not know that that was the reason I had chronic pain or prior addictions or relationship kind of disconnection here and there or people pleasing. I didn't understand any of that. I didn't know that I was into non-duality to hide from the buried anger. None of that was known to me. And even as a teacher, I had a BDSM addiction. In fact, that's when it happened. 4 years after the realization, the first 2.5 to 3 years were like a honeymoon period for me. It was like the byproducts of awakening were there. It was like it is now. After the embodiment or during this embodiment process in the beginning, because you just get this glimpse of the full embodiment. Some people do. And it didn't seem like there was going to be any suffering for those after those first 2.5, 3 years. And then cancer, BDSM addiction, and then spinal stenosis nerve pain that led to suicidal ideation. So those diseases now I understand from my own work in my body and reading science were influenced greatly, if not created, by the holding back of that life force, all that aggression and energy and anger and libido. And I've been acting it out the whole time. I mean, I'm avoiding conflict. There's nothing about conflict and non-duality other than it just comes and goes. I'm avoiding it in my personal relationships. I'm storing the anger. And then I'm just going out and living out that submissive role because I have no power. And that I'm getting off on it. That's what it is. It's like the trauma and the sexual repression are intertwined. And for me, I was bullied when I was a kid, as I've said. And these were six of my close friends. I had sex with like 3 or 4, if you count what we did as sex. And then I was bullied by them. And then I had sex with the main bully after it all. So why is that relevant? Because that set me up for this trauma repeating itself in the BDSM. But it was all about power dynamics that were playing themselves out. So if you're like people who are cuckolders, like if men who like to watch their wife have sex or a man, you know, to their wives, often feel like a deep sense that there's something inadequate about them. That's that powerlessness. Or there are men who watch porn with, they're straight men, but they watch porn with, you know, virile men with even a big penis because the women adore the man and it makes the man watching feel less than, and that gets them off because of their anger repression. There's all sorts of other things where people have rape fantasies. A significant portion of people have BDSM fantasies or activities in their life. The Kinsey Report said that our sexual life is much more colorful than we would ever let on in our social relationships. Even to this day, we're very repressed. Generally, different cultures really are. So I've done the work of anger repression, and I'm getting back to this intimate kink point. It took me, I had to do some deep work to see this, but this is just me. The kink that I was doing on the side was a longing for intimacy. I couldn't see it though, because it was driven by the fear of anger repression. And by fearing or storing anger, I didn't have any power. I could have no boundaries. I couldn't say what I really wanted. And so taking that powerless role was, of course, you know, right up my alley. And I kept in that pattern because the anger repression driving the different forms of suffering in my relationship remained. In some sense, as long as I had suffering, I was going to act that kind of thing out, because my suffering came from being submissive and, you know, peacemaker, just never rock the boat. Take out whatever comes. That's just like a submissive. Well, I was stuck in that until I discovered my power, which is this buried anger. We all have it. Anger is our innate power. When we integrate it, we're not identified with it anymore. We are when we bury it. If you can't feel anger, it's mostly probably because you're identified with it at a level so deep that you can't feel it. I mean, nobody just comes onto the earth without any anger, because it's in us as humans. We have to do something with it. Store it, identify with it. But as we process it, that's our life force, part of it coming online. And when that came online for me, it shifted everything about all of my relationships. Every single one of them. But that's beyond the scope of this podcast episode, because it's the intimacy and the fear of that really got seen. There's a fear of intimacy behind the attachment styles. Intimacy requires vulnerability and conflict. You have to be able to endure that, because intimacy brings up all of our stuff, our insecurities. So if those insecurities just keep us shut down and we're not really being ourselves, we can't be truly intimate. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about intimacy, love and connection and vulnerability. You see, when I was acting out the BDSM thing, it's like it was safe. It's what I longed for. Consensual. There were boundaries. They were often discussed. And then I get to my life, my relationships, there's no boundaries. It's just like things aren't really consensual. We're not really talking and really connecting. It's just odd that I was trying to get that through an act that looks like that, but yet that felt safe, and I could somehow be that openly submissive and act out that ego. But that's not, of course, the answer. That's the suffering. But there was so much insight in it to see where that was coming from. Because what I really longed for was intimacy in my personal relationships, and my romantic relationships. And in my second marriage, with a person who was a hurt repressor, who was angry, it helped me come out of my anger repression, of course, to discover I really loved him, truly did, and still do. And he was the first person in my life, in any relationship, where I was completely sexually attracted to him. There was no doubt about that. And, you know, loved him more than anyone. And both of those things were together in that relationship for me. And that was magical, because all my life, because of my own repression and unconsciously choosing partners from the need for safety and not being able to explore really who I am, I couldn't open before him to both of these aspects of me, the sexual side, the animalistic side, the side that I would always act out on the side, and then my sensual, loving, connected side. It's the same thing. There aren't sides. But I split myself in two, because I longed for intimacy, but I was afraid of it. And when you're suffering like that, you have to find something, because it's such a longing within us. To me, it's the longing back to our non-dual embodied nature. Is this, I need the intimacy, I need love. But we often think, of course, we're going to find that in the other person. Well, we can, but if we can't find it within ourselves, and I do mean intimacy, we can't find it in others. And how can we feel intimate within our own being if there are parts of us that are so scary we don't touch them? Well, then, to some degree, we won't let others touch us, and I don't mean physically, but move us, because that would get too close to those buried emotions, to let that happen, to let people in fully. So I, as you guys know, I left my partner who had the hurt and sadness repression. And when we broke up, we remained friends, and I've talked about that. And we have a very vulnerable and authentic friendship, and we also both love each other very much and are still attracted to each other, and we talk about this. But we have tremendous boundaries around that because of the stuff that he went through. And so he'll say, you know, like, most of the relationship was him, which doesn't make me feel better in one sense, because that's my codependency all my life, is being good. And yeah, he had some mental health issues, so he was showing up in different ways, but I've wanted something deeper with him than just the story that he had mental health issues and couldn't open to me. But that's what is, that's true for him. What's really true is I think that he had a fear of intimacy, and he knows it now. And he couldn't open to me. And he says that. And that was really the reason why we couldn't. I didn't want to stay with him, because I was ready to open on those levels. And there were some bad things that happened because he wasn't ready, that were hurtful on both sides. So that relationship in that form is over. But what I said to him just recently was, I mean, again, we're being really open with each other. It's closure, it's healing. We have plenty of boundaries, so it's healthy. And it really needed to happen for my healing process, to say to him, look, when we were together and you couldn't be intimate with me, we had an open relationship and I was able to go and explore these different things. And he said, but in the beginning we had that. And I said, yes, I know. But that's how the avoidant attachment is. It's like, it's a love bomb in the beginning. We had intimacy for a while. Really beautiful, actually. And something happened for him to close him up. And that brought it out for me more. It's like, what? Where did you go? Where are you? I miss you. That hurts. But I got to process instead my anger, because I'd always felt hurt. That was always safe. It was the anger that showed me the intimate kink. By having boundaries with him and leaving him, I was able to see more broadly what repression really does to a relationship. It does a lot of different things, but it splits us in two, or in different ways. So we just can't be authentic with each other. And he and I are very real with each other. We talk about our sexual fantasies or fetishes, or our love, our connection, the hurt, the things that didn't work. And we joke that this is the intimacy that we both long for. But it had to happen with boundaries. And who knows what will happen in the future. But all relationship is for, it's not for us to find happiness in the other person. It's for us to wake up. So I said to him, I said, you know, when I get into a relationship, these two sides of me are one now. Because I don't need to go find something that I already have within. That sense of just intimacy and safety and love, I already have that. So if I go into a relationship like that, I want that person to be someone who can open in both ways. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I always settle for something less than that because of my own fear and need for love. Need for safety and love had me in relationships where I couldn't get to that place. So we can use the relationships of suffering, though, to wake up, is what I mean. In our own way, we learn, if we're open, exactly what we need to, but we'll keep repeating it until we get it in the body. And that's why I said to him, we have to have boundaries, because this really is trauma. And that one has to do their own work. And that's what I've been doing. It's when the shame dissolves, intimate kink in your life, and the bad parts of you don't feel bad anymore. The anger doesn't feel bad. You don't bury it, or you're well on your way to being clear of that. And the things that you used to hide, you know that you hid them because of the anger repression. These are all things you see here. And the intimacy was just fear. The intimacy issue was the fear of the anger or the hurt or the sadness that was buried in the fear of rejection. And that fear of rejection will keep us from opening to intimacy. And it's so hard to deal with because it's buried too. Right there with the buried emotions. We don't share those buried emotions because we're afraid that if we do, we'll be rejected. And so we can't be authentic because of those two fears. The fear of getting angry and the fear of rejection. Or the fear of showing hurt, the fear of losing people. We call those the two core fears here. Because when you dissolve those, there's your life force. There's your libido. There's your sexuality. I told Dan I'm hornier than ever, but not compulsive about it. That's because I've opened to my own body, my sexuality. There's nothing to hold back. You'll see it too. We're a repressed earth sexually still. That's why we have all those kinks and things on the side, the down low. Because we're just discovering who we are. And we're not there yet because we have to embody that. We have to live that. And it's going to involve all those parts. Because if we want to be free, it has to. Don't be afraid of that work, because this is freedom. Be afraid of suffering. Being afraid, I mean, you are. But if you're going to be afraid of something, don't be afraid of suffering. Just don't be afraid of healing. If you're afraid of healing, look at that. Because suffering is just, that's the thing that really we have to focus on how we do this in relationship. We do this to ourselves. We can't open to ourselves. It's really not even about the other person. We carry those patterns to the next person. Might like to make it about the other person, but the only way we will ever know intimacy is to feel it within ourselves, truly. Otherwise, it's always like, oh, I have to find it somewhere. Right. It's like love and connection. You always have to find it somewhere. But what if it's already here? And you're blocking it simply because you can't feel and express certain things. And when you can't feel and express those things drive you to do things maybe on the side that you feel ashamed of, but the shame protects us from ever feeling the repressed emotions. And the shame drives us back to the kink or to whatever. Some of us can't even imagine being in a romantic relationship and letting somebody really see us. I mean, I found somebody who sees me. And when I look at other relationships, I see how we sacrifice so much just to get love. We hide so much because we need love. Instead of seeing that we are that, instead of opening to all these parts, we keep, you know, bonding with people and trying to be something for them. More of this or more of that or less of this. But all we really need to do is be authentic. When everybody is working towards or being authentic, nobody's trying to fix anyone else. No one's trying to cheat on anyone else. And if they do, we process it. We don't become perfect. We just become honest. We don't stop feeling. We just stop suffering. When the two worlds, whatever they are, when however you seek something that you think you can't find within yourself, whenever that goes away, or whenever you stop being in relationships and then still looking outside of them for something, either a spiritual awakening or another partner or some porn, you'll know what I mean. You can be alive and just excited and enthused to be alive and horny as hell and not suffering. Just wait. I always have to remember, it's like Freud. He kept telling everybody, you have aggression and sexuality. We're so afraid of it. We don't have to be, because that's our love. We have to own all parts of ourselves in order to know love. Otherwise, we'll look at our partners or whoever else like as duality, as it's separation. Has to be. We bury things, we have shadows. We're attracted to the things that we bury. We're attracted to those things in other people. We're attracted to their power or whatever it is, their peace, because we can't own those things. Their beauty, because we think we're ugly. We follow them because we think they have something that we don't. As long as we have repression, that's our life. It'll easily lead so many people out of their marriages to the porn or to the BDSM or the anonymous sex or the affair. It'll keep doing it. This is survival. When we repress emotions, getting our needs met is survival. It's not really up to question in the mind. It's also we're not aware of it. To say that we're doing it is to be ignorant. It's doing us. And until we make it conscious, and that's all we have to do, when we try to get rid of our issues, all we do is compound them. When we make the conditioning conscious that creates them, we get not only transformation, but insight. Intimate kink is an insight that our worlds and our lives and our relationships can be based in the embodied non-dual without it being any kind of avoidance. That's the way it should be. It's the way it should have always been. It should have been about relationship and authenticity, because that's what matters. But that's something we have to work towards through processing, not seeking, but understanding that our systems don't want that. They want to stay safe and get love and then go get the kink on the side when you can't get those needs met. That need for intimacy is just a very natural need for love that we have when we believe we're separate. And so we can wake up to non-dual presence. But look, if we still have those needs, there'll be the porn or the cheating or whatever, the kink. Suffering in life is the greatest teacher. No matter what we think about our spiritual realization or our level of healing, the porn addiction will tell you everything about your state of consciousness. The way that you fantasize about someone else when you're with someone will tell you everything about your state of consciousness and your avoidance. Your ability to sit there with someone and truly feel and express what is true or not tells you everything that you need to know about your state of consciousness, because that's the source of suffering. If we can't be real, we have to be false, and being false is suffering. I wish for you one day to experience your version of intimate kink, where you stop being ashamed of yourself and you start loving yourself, but no I to be found, because it's non-dual and it's authentic, not because there's somebody who believes they're authentic, but because you've processed the buried emotions that made you inauthentic. You didn't become a great person or an enlightened anything or a wonderful, peaceful, kind person. You became what you are. You'll become what you are. And that's perfectly enough and all you ever need and all you ever needed. Those projections, that just added to the kink and the porn. Trying to be a good person, trying to stop having these desires, that's all part of it. Own the darkness. Actually, own the darkness first on a spiritual path, because the darkness that you bury creates the suffering. Why are you waiting? Except for a need to stay safe. Understandable. Still, that's what drove me to the kink, is I longed for love, but I also longed for safety, and both of those things were within me. I had to suffer a long time, including with diseases, even after awakening, to get this. Every single thing in your life is connected, including that porn you're going to watch later. That kink you like that you don't tell anyone about, that's directly connected to the conversations you're not having with your loved ones. Direct connection. Because when you start opening up to people, you feel connected to your body when you process buried emotions. And when you feel connected to your body and your experience, you already feel connected to life. Because repression is disconnection. So it's all you have to do is resolve that. You don't have to be a better person or stop trying to do this. Earnestness and vulnerability and authenticity just requires, okay, look, there's unconsciousness here. I have this fetish and I enjoy it and I don't want to look at it, but I also know there's suffering in my relationship and I also know that I leave my relationship to go do this fetish, right? And you can just go get rewarded that way, but at some point you have to go, well, this is related to that. And I can't just get rid of the fetish or even have more of the fetish and expect that the relationship is going to get better. They're all one thing. Whatever that fetish may be, it doesn't have to be sexual. Your spiritual path on the side of your relationship can be your kink. Because kink is just a way to get our needs met. Because we can't find that within. Well, if nothing else, I hope this inspires you. And every time I do a podcast, I'm so happy now because the littlest things make me just elated. It's funny. I could tell you stories. But what makes me happy right now is just being able to give you guys this free course. It's not the whole KI, but it is the tool that is KI. You can get it for free. You can do the work that I've been talking about on podcasts for a year and a half without paying any money. The link is in the description. Thank you.